You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to that which scripture you read, Isaiah chapter 43. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for thy word. Spirit of God, thank you for your presence and your work to glorify you, our Heavenly Father. So help us, here we are, your day, your time, for your honor and your glory. God, help us, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, we shared together last time of our Lord Jesus Christ, a God in his wonderful purpose and plan is to glorify himself. And God can only glorify himself by himself, to give expression to his awesome person. Only God can do that. Who else can appreciate God except God? There is only one God. And so therefore, there's only one artist to paint. You don't have 10 artists. So we have one artist painting, as it were. And that artist who else can appreciate the painting except the artist? Who else can appreciate creation except God? Now, and so God, having said that in his plan and purpose, God, the invisible, infinite God, is going to give an expression to his wonderful person for his glory and honor, as we share together God the Son, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. And God, in his wonderful plan and purpose, has planned to go to the cross before anything or anyone. So that's in his plan. That's what he's going to do. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and so the angels are created, as we shared, and they have a right to choose, as all must, otherwise we'd be robots and just be like a tree, like a butterfly. No, we have to be able to respond. We have to be able to choose to respond to the glory and wonder of God as we learn of God. And that's so with the angels, just think of Sunday school. Now, in the light of that, and so, God, you've created us in your image and likeness, and we're to be able to enjoy. So when you, in a special way, like none other, angels can't have it, and there's nothing, no one anywhere. God, you created us humans to enjoy your wonderful person in a most special way. Now, in order for that to happen, you had to go to the cross and die. And Adam and Eve sinned, as you know, as you have allowed and know, because Lucifer, the son of the morning, sinned. And God, you had all of that in mind in order to what? To bring out the fullness of your wonderful person. That God, you are a righteous God. You are a just God. You are a loving God. And God, you're able to go and have compassion and mercy and kindness. But you also hate sin. And anything that is other than you is rejected. It cannot exist. Only you in your perfection. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God, so when he created us, so in his image and likeness, so when he looks at us, he finds himself, like in the mirror, as we shared the words, image and likeness. When you look in the mirror, you see yourself. When God looks at a human, he sees himself. That's what he wants to see. He wants to see himself, to glorify himself. Angels will appreciate, as we shared, all of those wonderful things, but only humans are made to be able to reflect like a mirror, the derived image. God, you look and created us in order for us to enjoy your wonderful person, for us to experience, as we shared, learn of me in Sunday school. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, in God's wonderful plan, and in the very beginning, he showed the plan, so you don't have to guess at it. Genesis 3:15, he determined out of the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent, the believing and unbelieving, God was going to go to the cross by way of the Virgin Mary to save us, and who had sinned. In Adam's fall, we sinneth all. And so in Adam's fall, all of us died. And think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 15, I should say. For in Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. And again in Titus, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So God, you did all of this. That's why you had to be. I had to understand when you created us that you would have to go and become like us and pay the penalty. You'd pay the penalty of our sin. In Adam, we're all out of Adam. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, part of Adam, and God, you're going to go. And when you die on the cross, you're going to die for the sin of the world. It has to be, not for part of it, has to be for all of it. In Adam, we all sin. There's not an exception, except our Lord, born of the Virgin Mary. And he is that way so that he could die to pay the price for all our sin. So when, Christ, you died for the sin of the world, and that's why we shared 100 times, that's why God allowed us to be created. God wouldn't allow us to be created and die in our sins. God didn't do that. God allowed us to be created because he has made a way to save us. And his wonderful plan and purpose involved us to be saved. And therefore, we shared together in last time in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus, Jehovah saves. Jehovah, and the word save. Jehovah saves. Jesus, Jehovah saves. God saves. Yahweh saves. Now, here in Isaiah 43, reminding ourselves, which we need to keep in mind, verse 10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, Isaiah 43:10, whom I have chosen, reason, that we may know and believe him, and understand that he is who he is, God. And before me, he said, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I'm the only God, and by the way, I'm the only Savior. Verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the only God and only Savior. Now, God, you're going to make that clear. Right. So all of history makes clear what? There's no gods, just God. Now, the religion and idolatry and the Satan himself tries to bring up idols and idolatry and gods, little g, and he tries to do that, but none of them can last. Now, they aren't real. They can't be God. But no matter how hard anything, religious, philosophy, Buddha, whatever you try your very best, you can't be God. Only God can be God, fortunately. No one else. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and John the Baptist is going to go and announce him. That's his purpose, to go and announce and introduce the Lord. And remember in John chapter 1, as we did it, John 1 and 29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So there's no question now. So Jesus saves. and his saving grace makes possible a most special relationship. And it isn't for just here. You and I live, we're born and we'll die. There's a beginning for time, Genesis 1. There's an ending for time, Revelation 21. There's an ending of time. But just time's just a little dot like that. In the light of eternity, a little dot. Now, we're made for the dot in order to enjoy the eternity. We are made for that. God designed us for that, with a soul and spirit. Wow. Now, having said that, so that we have that unique relationship to God, that's going to be, so all of it here and now is to prepare us and make us ready for there and then. And God had to die on the cross to make it ever possible in a most wonderful way. Now, God, you did that. You're the Savior. Now, and you make it very clear. You said, I am that I am, Exodus 3. That's how Moses and Israel was to know you, were to know you. I am that I am. So God, here we are, and you make it known as you're in your birth, Matthew chapter 1, that you are going to be called Jesus because you're the only Savior. And you're the King and you're the Savior. That's right. Now, not only am I the Savior for making a very special relationship possible, that's what I did. Why did you create us, God? To make us like a sun standing out there in the middle of space? Like a star? No. No. Like a tree? No. No, not like a tree. No. Like a bumblebee? No. I didn't. No, that isn't what I did. What did you do? All of those things are going to disappear. But you aren't, because we're made for you, God. And we're to know you as our Lord and Savior. Now, so God, what is this special relationship? Well, over to Matthew and chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in thought. Remember, we share together in the context. Chapter 1, verse 21, Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sin. Jesus means Savior. Jehovah saves. Now, sliding down, and I'll read verse 22, and now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, what else? Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, translated, is God with us. So God, you're Jesus, and so what's this special thing? Well, it's God with us. Now, if hold your finger here just for a moment and go over with me to Isaiah and chapter 7 for a moment. Isaiah chapter 7. And you will note, because that's where the quote's from, God said it way back then. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Now, that's in your English King James, English Bible, Emmanuel. In the Greek, in the Hebrew, though, after the word Emmanuel is the little word God. You won't say it. That's there. Emmanuel. God put it, names, and he adds it to names about God. And then a little word after it, God. So as you're looking at that, I just wanted you to note it. His name, Emmanuel, God. That's how it ends. He's God. So you don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder about it. Now, sliding back over to Matthew and chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, you would recall Emmanuel, and then it is to be interpreted and translated, the God, Emmanuel, the God, not just God. There's a little word article, the God, the God. Being interpreted is God, the God. The God is what? The God is with us. The God is with us. That's what it means. God is with us. Now, so therefore, looking at it, God, you're going to say, Emmanuel means what? In the present passive, it means what? God is with us. God is with us. Well, that's a little word, W-I-T-H, just a little word. Little word to say the least, not much. But. That little word carries an awesome lot with us. You know the little word in. Hang on to that, and we'll get there in just a sec. That little word that, with, W-I-T-H, that little word preposition with, together with, in the midst of, on the same side, to be present, so as to aid, as to assist, fellowship, companionship, together with. That's the word, together with. That's the, in particular. Someone, here you are, and someone's together with you, in the same room, in the same place, in the same body. Hang on, with. Now, God, you're going to be with us. Not just God. Here we are like a tree and out there, and God, there you are, and there's the tree. There's the star. There's the sun. No, not like that. No. Not like angels. No. Lucifer. No. Michael. No. I'm going to be with you. God, you're going to save us? I am. I'm going to be with you. Hang on. That's my plan. That's my purpose. Now, in the light of that, to be on the same side, to be together with, to aid, to assist, in order to catch the flavor of that, God, if we were a student and you were living in the days of our Lord, or the days when he is ministering, what would you know? Well, God, as you looked at the in the synagogue and that, and you opened the scroll and you read Genesis chapter 6, etc., and what would you read about God? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then verse 9, Noah walked with God. Here's all the people, but we don't read his sons, we don't read we don't read their wives, we don't read his wife, no. It's Noah that walks with God. Noah walks with God. Now, that you have to think, because how could anyone build an ark 120 years or 10,000 years, big as a battleship, that kind of thing? I mean, how could they do that unless God enabled them to do it in a most awesome way? Now, so Noah walked with God. And there's a little preposition in the Hebrew, to incline, to lean upon, to support, expressing togetherness, fellowship, accompaniment. God, what did Noah do? Noah enjoyed your personal presence. Every day of his life, as he 120 years building the ark, you were with him. You were with him to aid, to assist. You were together with him to support him in every way. You were there to be his God in a most wonderful way. You were there to honor your wonderful person. And so Moses, how are you going to do it? Well, God is going to go be with Moses. And Moses said, among other things, in Exodus 33, as the people had sinned and Moses was to lead them in the wilderness, Moses said, I'm not going anywhere, God, any further without you, without your presence. I'm not going without you. God, you have to be with us. If you aren't with us, we aren't going anywhere. That's from the standpoint of Moses. We aren't going anywhere, God. You have to be with us, together with us. Because that's what it's about, God. You made us to be able to enjoy us and for us to enjoy you. Together. Together. Uh-huh. That's what I want. Hang on. Noah walked with God. Wow. And Moses walked with God. And if you took time to read in the Joshua, Joshua 1:5, as I was, 1:5, as I was with, W-I-T-H, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. So, God, you carry it on. What's the whole prayer? If anyone's going to go anywhere, they have to go with you, together with you, in an awesome way. And you're going to be there to help, to assist in your most wonderful way, God. Now, in over, if you would, oh, to pick it up just a little bit differently and more, over to Isaiah, all the different places, but for time's sake, to get at least the flavor of it a little more, Moses and Joshua and all of them, Isaiah chapter 41. And you're familiar with it. Isaiah 41, may I pick up, please, God's encouragement, always for the remnant that would believe in Israel. Here's Isaiah chapter 41, picking up, if I may, in verse 10. Fear not, fear thou not, for I am. Why aren't we going to be afraid? Because I'm with you. I'm with you. There's a lot of things. You're going to pick it up tonight. In fact, I may have to, I see the clock going, I may have to take this another step, but I'll fix it. I'll make it fit, Lord willing. What's the use is the title. And then I'm going to make this fit in. So it'll work. Always have to make it work. Wow. Now, so here we are looking, Isaiah 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, with, together with, to assist, together with thee, to be fellowship with thee, commune with thee. So therefore, be not dismayed, because all the things in your life, but I'm with you. For I am thy God. I will strengthen. I'm the only God and only Savior. I'm your God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm going to do it. That's what I'm going to do. What are you going to do? I'm going to support you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to hold your right hand. I'm going to make everything come out like it should. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the paths of right, he leads us in paths of righteousness. That's what you're going to do. I am. Is that what it with means? Uh-huh, that's what it means. Israel, I'm with you. I was with Moses, I was with Joshua, and I'm with the nation. Now, the nation may not believe, but why has the nation got a wonderful future in the purpose of God? Because God is with them. God's purposed it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, verse 13, for I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, there we are again, I will help thee. I'm right there to help you. Fear thou not, again. fear thou not, thou worm Jacob, you men of Israel, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, again, saith the Lord, and the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Are you going to be a big thing and make me, you're going to do a whole lot? No, you're not. You're like a little worm. And I'm going to go and take care of you. And you know, little worms just live in the ground. But I'm going to take care of you. I told you not to be afraid. Now, how strong is a little worm? Use your imagination. And here comes a big pigeon. Here comes a hawk. Here comes a great eagle. Now, how strong is that little worm? And the eagle reaches out and clips down on it, and the little worm shakes it, eagle, shakes the eagle up in the air and sends the eagle flying, right? No. No, no, it doesn't. The little worm, you're a little worm, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. That's what I'm going to do. Hang on. Well, so now, God, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, I want you to look at that which you are very familiar with. John, chapter 1, and verse 12. As you remember, verse 11, he came unto his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. They crucified him. Then he turns around and says to whosoever, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, privilege, to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So, now, A, when you came to know, when, if you know the Lord as your Savior, what did you do? You received him. I accepted him. Oh, no, no. You had to receive him in your heart. In your heart. What did you do? You received God in your, did you? That's how you get saved. Got it? That's the only way you get saved, is to receive him. Now, over, if you would, please, to John. And you have to turn there, for time's sake. Think of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and what? If any man, any one, boy, girl, man, woman, open the door, I will come into the kitchen. I'll come into the living room. No. I'll come into the person. I'll come into him. When you open the door, when you receive him, and you're looking to God, and God goes and does what? When you open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. God, you're going to come in. So I'm going to try to find something that makes that different. And then I'm going to go, if you can, where you're in John chapter 14, which we did, remember. And in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ making possible a life that is impossible by receiving him as our Savior. And therefore, John chapter 14, the Lord says, I'm going to make all of that possible in a very real, experiential way to enjoy it. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter of the same kind as I am, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that he may abide with you, together with you. That's a little word. Together with you. Abide with you together, side by side. He's going to be there in fellowship, communion, going to be there together with you. He's going to be together with you. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In you. That's, turn to page after page of the Gospels, of the epistles. I'm looking for something different, but I can't find it. I can't seem to find it. Now, in the light of that, in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 12. We'll do that just to make it exercise a little bit. You know all these things, but I just want to say it again. So it's there. 1 John chapter 5 and picking up, please, in verse 12. That's how you get saved. I meant, if you're going to be saved, then be saved. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You got to have the Son. You have to have the Son. when I received the Lord as my Savior. How did I get life? I got life because I received the Son of God. Now, you don't have to turn there, but just if you were adding a thousand things, Colossians 1:27, what is this mystery that's being shown today up to the world about God's wonderful plan that the world has forsaken, abandoned, and thrown away? God's wonderful plan to be their God, to be the Savior, and to be with them, to have a unique, wonderful relationship. They were made for God. For God to have a unique, wonderful, with them, together with them. Think of what we looked at Sunday school, my yoke, Matthew 11 and 29. My yoke, remember the ox yoke. And our Lord is under the yoke in his perfect humanity to represent God's wonderful plan to be the Savior and make possible all that God has in mind, and you get saved, and God puts your head under the other one, and he's meek and lowly to carry you down the road. He knows you. He is God under the yoke, and God is going to help you understand together with you in the yoke. Wherever the yoke goes, you go. No? I know when I used to be with my grandfather's farm, wherever the one horse or yoke, bull, whatever, turned, the other one went with him. The young bull had to conform, and the old one knew just how to help him get there. Wow. So God, here we are. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Over to John, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. May I pick up, please? God's wonderful, wonderful person. You know verse 20. You can quote it, I'm sure. Now unto him that is able, Ephesians 3:20. To do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, God, you're with us and in us to be our aid, to help, to be together for fellowship. And so you're able to be in everything we need to be. And we just need to look to you and thank you. You found your home in our heart. And we need to make you at home in our heart. Now remember in Matthew, as you begin Matthew, God said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus and Emmanuel, for he will save you from your sin, and he'll be with you." God, Emmanuel, God with us. That's what it means. God together with us. Together. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, when you come to the end of Matthew, the beginning of Matthew says, "Emmanuel, God with us." What happens when you come to the end of Matthew? The end of Matthew, going over there for the sake of exercise. Matthew chapter 28. How do you end? How do you end? God, you do it in the most wonderful way. Remember now, and I'm going to read the last verse. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And, God, how are you going to end? And lo, I am with you, there's your little word, preposition, with you always, even unto the ends of the world, end of the age. Wow. God, there you are. I told you. It's all about me being with you. And when you come to the end of all those 28 chapters about God's, the King of Israel, but the King is with you. You're with the King. Wow. Awesome. It is. There's no question. Now, God, and you want us to understand that and to enjoy that. That's right. I do. So in the process of that, now, so God, help us. So therefore, back over to John, the Gospel of John and chapter 3. Gospel of John and chapter 3. Now, God, you're making it clear, so no matter where we go, it's either in or with. Not outside and not down the street. No, it's a togetherness. Wherever you is, I am. The way it is. How can you receive me as your Savior and not have that? Well then, God, I'm looking for you. God, don't look too hard. I'm right here. Didn't you receive me as our Savior? Or didn't you? Where do you think I am? Christ, Colossians 1:27 again, the mystery. Christ in you the what? Christ in you the hope of glory. Christ in you. I try to tell you. You have to understand what I did. So God, you to be an ever-present help. I am. And you have a wonderful relationship. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Wow. Here's John chapter 3. Nicodemus, help me. Chapter 3, if I can. In verse 2. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. How could anyone do what you do except God is with you, together with you? There must be the two, that God's together with you. That's right. No, and Nicodemus said, there's no way upon earth except God be with you. Chapter 8. John chapter 8, if I can, in verse 29. And he said, I have to read verse 28 for a little context. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, crucifixion, then shall you know that I am he. He that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. There's your little word. He's with me, together with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, Nicodemus, you're correct. The perfect humanity of Jesus Christ couldn't do it. But in together with God, he can do whatever. That's what the Lord Jesus said. With you, I can do anything. I honor you. That's why you could show and demonstrate God's wonderful person. Chapter 16. John chapter 16. Sliding over. In the upper room, remember, chapter 16, sliding over for context, verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is come, that you shall be scattered, remember, or left them all alone, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone. Why aren't you alone? Because the Father is little preposition, I'm with you. You're never alone. You're never alone. Ever. God, where are you? You're never alone. Lo, I am with you always. Always, always. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking. That's an awesome thing, God, that you've done. Now, and we have to our time. Over, if you would please, to Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 13. Now remember, God, in his wonderful grace, is an ever-present help. Just hang on to chapter 13 if you're there, and just go back over to Hebrews chapter 2 for a moment. Hebrews in chapter 2, in the beginning of Hebrews. And chapter 2 and verse 18. 2 and 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, put to the test. He is able, that's our Lord, to succor, to come to the aid of them that are tempted, tested. Now, God, are you able to come and be an ever-present help? Absolutely. I know all about it. I know. I'm on the other side of the yoke. I know what it's like. I know what you need. So therefore, I am meek and lowly, and trust me. Learn to trust me with all your heart. That's what I am. Now, back over to chapter 13. Now, God, so wherefore, chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Now, how can I do that, God? For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now, what does that mean, God? I'm never going to be apart from you. Why did you save us? My name is Emmanuel. I'm with you. God with you. That's why I created you. I didn't need another tree out there or another star. I didn't need an angel because angels aren't designed for that. You are. I need you. I died for you, to be with you. I not only save you, I save you to be with you, Emmanuel. That's what I did. With you. That's what Christmas is. With us. So God, it isn't nice a tree and a cross and we think of a birth and a manger. No, that all of that translates and moves in God's wonderful plan and purpose to the cross, where he dies and rises again and enters, and so we can receive him as our Savior. And we can be new creatures in Christ. And God does that. So therefore, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And remember, in the Greek language, there's five negatives. You won't see it there. Five negatives. Two negatives. It isn't contradicting. It's impacting it. Five negatives. No, 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 no. I will not forsake you. Now, how many times do you want him to say it? That's awesome. And therefore, you're my companion. Aha, together. Therefore, comes verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do. Remember what you read in Isaiah 41? Fear, 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 fear. You don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. I'm with you. The big things are there, the bad guys are there, but God, you're there. And who's bigger than you? No one's bigger than you. No one. And you know the illustrations, all the ones we've used over the years, that are ones that may help you to remind yourself of God. You're able to go and be there. And my little son, when he was little, out there when we lived right next door here, and remember the big dog was coming up the hill, and my little son was out there doing something, and so I went out and stood beside him, and here comes this big dog up the hill, and big dog comes up the hill, and whoa, and Stephen, my son, he grabbed hold of my pant leg, and shook his finger at him. Understand? That's what he did. I was with him. God is with you. And all the big things and things you don't understand, but God is there. I will be your helper if you let me. That's what I want to be. I'm there to help you get through it all. Just think of the yoke, Matthew 11, 28, 29. And think of all of that. And so, God, you're my helper. So what shall I fear? What man shall do unto me? So, God, that's a wonderful thing. Now, and you'll recall, I didn't get very far, but I didn't think I would, maybe, to get the point. So I have to tie that on to what's the use. There must be some solution to what's the use. So tonight, God willing, I hope he comes. Now, so here we are looking, and God, you're with us, that's right. Now you'll remember the illustration, a little illustration. And the artist drew the picture, a forest and all of that. And in the picture of the forest, he put a little house right in the middle of the little, in all the woods around it and everything, and put a little house out there, and put the little house in. And so when you looked at the painting, looked at that big picture of the painting, you'd see the forest. And if you looked and paid attention, there in the middle of it, looking like a tree, brown, wood color, and there's a little house. There's a little house. A little house is lost in the middle of the great forest. But then the heart artist went, in his wonderful way of doing things, and he went and took his little brush and took a little yellow, and he went to the windows of that little house, and he yellowed them in. And all of a sudden, that little house in the middle of the giant woods, all of a sudden the little house stood out. Why? It was lit up. It was lit up. God, how are we going to stand in the middle of it at all? We're just a little house. Uh-huh, that's true. You're a little house. And being a little house, I am with you. And all of a sudden, the forest didn't change. The enemy didn't change. Your body didn't change. You changed. You got your heart right. And who's there? Christ in you, the light of the world. Walk as what? Ephesians 5:8. Walk as children of light. That's what to do. In the light, walk in the light in the dark. Aha, wow. God, that's what you're looking for. I am. That's what I want. So God, so that's what you did for us. So when I received you as my Savior, it wasn't I agreed with you dying on a cross. That's wonderful that you did that for me. Thank you. No. You took us to the cross. That's right. You died for us. That's right. And you died. You're the Savior. Before the foundation of the world, you died for us. In order for what? For us to be saved. In order for what? For you to be with us. Because you designed us in your image and likeness to be able to enjoy your awesome, wonderful person. And you'd be together with us. Wow. That makes a merry Christmas. That makes a merry, merry Christmas. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and help us in every way. And our God, we're going to thank you for what you do and how you do. We just stumble along. But God, it isn't up to us. Not at all. It isn't even about us. It's about your being wonderfully who you are. And for us to enjoy. For us to literally experience and enjoy being saved. Being yours. For you to find your home in our little heart and head, and for us to be able to be comfortable in your heart and in your holy heaven. God, what an arrangement. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.